Welcome to this episode of Above the Clouds. Today we will focus on the essence of bhakti, satisfying Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj speaks about this really very poignantly. He says, one may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and even mystic yogic power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by bhakti or bhakti, devotional service. Then he offers an example. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. There is a truth in bhakti. Unless Krishna is pleased by the surface or service of a devotee, he does not reveal himself. Or as Srila Prabhupada so often reminded us, don't try to see God. Act in such a way that the Lord sees you. Let's pause here a little bit. Krishna is the seer, he sees us, and we are the seen. Once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, my whole message, that means whatever I have to say, is based on the proper comprehension of drik drishtya vichar. That means understanding the difference between the seer and the seen. We falsely think that it is us who see everything in our environment, make plans and then move or influence things in such a way that it is good for us and we can enjoy. But in actuality, we are not really the seen and not the mover. Krishna is the first seer and he sees us and we always come second. I do remember once driving in a car with one professor of theology. We were on our way to a conference in Zurich, where both of us presented. And I asked him in the car, what do you think? Has God created us or have we created him? I still remember how he turned back to me and nodded his head and said, yes, that's the question, isn't it? Have we, in our need to know and have safety and security and help in our life, have we, with our various cultures, formed images of God and thus created him? Or is he first and has created us? Professor Kira looked at me and said, honestly, I don't have an answer to this question. In bhakti, the answer is, we are always like little ants who move here and there, and the Lord is overseeing what we see and how we move. There's even a poem by Rumi, who famously said, "I was a black ant in a dark universe, in an absolutely dark night, and on a black stone. But you found me." So yes, we are the scene. This is the absolute essence of what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said. And our approach to the Lord has to not be to try to see Him, but to try to act in such a way that He is satisfied. And the example Prahlad Maharaj provided is Gajendra. Let's go back again into Gajendra's life and ultimately how he became enlightened in devotional service. We remember he went to a beautiful lake. He had all his wives and children with him. He was an elephant, and he sprayed water over his family, and then unexpectedly he was attacked by a strong and very angry crocodile. Gajendra was a strong elephant. He tried at first his best to get free from this danger, which he saw was sent to him by providence. Gajendra and the crocodile fought in such a way that they pulled each other in and out of the water for a long, long time. When the wives of Gajendra saw that he was going to lose the struggle, they began to cry. They wanted to help him, but no one could help him. Seeing their fighting, even the powerful demigods who hovered over the scene were surprised. It was so fierce. Then Gajendra, seeing no other people or ways to help him, turned to the Lord and began to say a prayer where he addressed the Lord as the supreme authority who was beyond the mind of anyone. But he did not have a specific idea of the Lord. The supreme power, supreme authority. He didn't think of Krishna or Rama and so on. But still, the Lord saw how he was praying in a desperate mood. He could understand the Lord, the Gajendra's suffering, and then he, who is the shelter of the entire universe and who is really existing everywhere, immediately appeared with great speed on the back of Garuda. He took his Sudarshan Chakra in his hand, and Gajendra saw him. And although he was reeling in acute pain due to this attack of the vicious crocodile, he did such a wonderful gesture. He picked up with his trunk a lotus, offered it to the Lord and prayed, "O Narayan, O Guru of the universe, please accept my obeisances." The Lord was pleased by his sincere prayers. He was there with his body, mind, speech, heart, and he was there entirely. Yes, and he then saved him. Rupa Goswami meditates about this amazing pastime and says a prayer. A prayer which I think must please the Lord, because it really tells us of the essence of the mood of a bhakta. He said, Rupa Goswami, O Lord Hari, my heart is like that elephant drowning in the ocean of material existence. I'm being sucked down in the whirlpools of an enchanting wife, children, grandchildren, and I'm caught in the rapacious jaws of the crocodile-like threefold miseries. I'm weeping, and on the top of my voice I'm calling out to you, Hey Hari, help me, help me. Release your Sudarshan chakra, which destroys the sufferings of the demigods, and rescue the elephant of my weak heart. Yes, Krishna's pastimes are relevant in all times and at all places. So what could this mean to satisfy the Lord with bhakti? I would like to go to 3 points. We all will have to face our final examination at the moment of death. At that time, no one will be able to take their beads with them, but you can take the taste with you. At the moment of death, we will leave all our books behind. But the wisdom, the insights, what we have learned, will go with us. At the final examination, our positions, if we were male or female, family, men or sannyasi, or having an important position in service, all this will be left behind, but not whatever service we could do during this time. So here it is. If you want to do something with bhakti, concentrate on the things which are of value. When you chant, make sure that you chant in a way that there is real taste. How? Well, not by mechanical chanting, but by being in the mood that I'm addressing the Lord, and the Lord is through the holy name, and the Lord is hearing me. When you read, bring the real essence to your reading. It's not about just gathering knowledge or just turning the pages. No, the idea is I want to extract some real deep points from the scriptures that I'm able to apply in my life. Only that which I apply stays with me. Everything what I don't apply goes. And also, let us not get stuck with temporary positions, but let us see that we can utilize whatever position we have now by our karma or by our circumstances or by mercy. Let us use this to be really of service. The point here is bhakti is a quality of the heart which is manifested in a devotional service. So let us not try to become important in a mundane sense. Prabhupada writes about this. Anyone who has any desire or aspiration for satisfying his senses by becoming more and more important, either in the material sense or in the spiritual sense, cannot actually relish the really sweet taste of devotional service. service. This comes from chapter 3 of Nectar of Devotion. I wish you all the best, that you can focus on the essence of bhakti, that is satisfying the Lord with your chanting, with your reading, and with whatever position the Lord has given you, so that you can be of service. Thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to see you again.